listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
I came to bring the pain hardcore to your brain. Let's go inside my astral plane. Find out my mental based on instrumental records. Hey, so I can write a monumental method. I'm not the king, but the niggas is decaf. I'm sticking for the cream. Check it out. Just how deep the shit can get. Deep as the abyss. And brothers, it's mad fish. Accept it. If you cross color, close, you crossed over. Then you got totally crossed out and crisscrossed. Who the boss? Niggas get tossed to the side. And on the dark side of the force. Move it on your left. Hey, welcome to the Blackout Tips podcast. Your host, Rod and
Karen.
We're in the house for Walking Dead Wednesday. Just me and Karen.
Mm-hmm.
No guest. Just pure Walking Dead action. And then we'll get into some other stuff and all that crap that you came here for.
Yes, sir.
Might be move a little faster without a guest. I don't know. We'll see.
Right. Depends on what happens.
Yeah, it depends on what happens. I guess first things first, though, of course, we've got to give a shout out to all the people out there that give us 5-star reviews on a daily basis.
Yes.
Find us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Podomatic. Leave us a 5-star review. Let us know what you think. We appreciate everybody that takes the time out to do that because it helps the show out tremendously. The official weapon of the show is
the taser.
And the unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
A bullet ball extreme. And today is day, why won't this print? What is going on?
No.
Anyway, today is day 329 that Bobby Schmurda has been locked up in jail without a trial. Okay. Today is also a day that we are triple sponsored.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Oh, I see why. Because editing wasn't on. Okay, there we go. Today is also a day that we are triple sponsored. We are sponsored by, of course, Shadow Dog Productions. The new Rod and Karen audio play is finally on iTunes. Also, it stars former show guest Nick Jew. You guys know her. Vanell, John Faust, Thatcher, and Jenna Simon. Listen to Rod educate on dating crazy, go to a yard sale, and cope with a world ending in Sunspot. 9 hilarious audio plays and all. Check it out on iTunes. Sunspot and Other Ratchetness is the name of the title. Or you can find it on, it's also on Amazon. And you can search our names, Rod Morrow and Karen Morrow, on iTunes and Amazon. And it'll come up and then you just go in there and get you some. All right? We appreciate that. We also have another sponsor. This podcast is brought to you by Bevel. That's right. This episode is brought to you by Bevel, the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. Check out GetBevel.com today and use code TBGWT to get 20% off of your first month at GetBevel.com. That's GetBevel.com. And have a little bit of a sexier sponsor. Let's see if I can find some sexy music. How about
your man on the road, he doing promo. You say keep our business on the low low. I'm just trying to get you out the friend zone.
Let me ask you a question. Are you getting enough? I bet you love to get more, right? Well, AdamandEve.com wants to give you more with 10 free gifts. First, they give you a sexy little surprise for her. Second, a specially selected toy for him. And third, a little something that you both can enjoy. Plus, you'll get 6 full-length adult movies on DVD. And number 10, that's right, 10, you get free shipping on your entire order. So what do you have to do to get this? It ain't hard. Mm-mm. Go to AdamandEve.com and select any one item. Could be an adventurous new toy, sex piece of lingerie, or anything you desire. Just enter offer code TBGWT at checkout, and you'll get all 10 free gifts. Mm-hmm. Go check out AdamandEve.com today. Select one item, anything. You know what I mean? Crotchless panties. Some get y'all some you know, some beads. You know, get you one of those little egg vibrator things that you put like right on the clit.
Rabbit.
Get all those things.
That's what it's called, rabbit.
A rabbit. Get you a rabbit, dog. Be hopping up in the bed. All
right? Hopping on that clit.
So you can do all those things. You get free shipping when you enter offer code TBGWT. That's TBGWT in the offer code box at AdamandEve.com. All right. Let me out.
Live life for the moment.
You know, The Weeknd is basically like Rick James' life in lyrics, but with the voice of Babyface. His songs are filthy, is what I'm saying. It don't sound like they filthy to you listening. It's like, I just fucked three bitches for a song. You're like, oh, that is not very sanitary.
No, it's not. Did you use condoms, sir?
What kind of love song is this, sir?
And I think for me, I don't really listen, because the first time I ever heard The Weeknd was when he did the awards show and his hair come out looking like an ocean crash. That's right. The first time I've ever heard of this nigga. So, and I thought The Weeknd was the whole group. So that shows you how out of touch I am. You was playing in the background. I was like, what the fuck is this? And when you said The Weeknd, all I could think about was his hair like crashing into the ocean. So I really couldn't listen to the lyrics.
Right. Well, I want to do a couple things up front before we get into this review of The Walking Dead. Because there are some pertinent things I think we should get to before we even start the review, and then we'll get into the review. First things first, I did want to talk about the Missouri stuff a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
More shit has happened, mm-hmm. obviously. Like last night, there were threats on the campus from this app called Yik Yak, where you can kind of post anonymously, and you know, there were threats about like, don't go to class, I'm gonna, you know, some of y'all will be okay, but if you black, you better not go to class tomorrow, cause you know, something's gonna happen and all this shit. So of course it raised alarm across the university. The actual, I think it's MSU Alert, which is their Twitter account for school emergencies and stuff.
Right.
They were refusing to issue any like state of emergency or hey warnings, like stay off campus or anything like that. Kept being like, well, we'll wait till it's confirmed, even though people were posting screenshots,
right?
You know, people were giving their eyewitness accounts that hey, there's people in like white face mask and shit on campus,
driving, and they're calling us niggas and trucks.
Yeah, like, you know, there's all this stuff going on. And the actual campus is refusing to acknowledge it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It says, posts from the Mizzou students across a variety of social media platforms reflected the campus in turmoil on Tuesday night and into the early hours of Wednesday morning, which this is what this reminds me of. This is what's so ironic. These are people going out saying there's no problem here.
Right.
And that their reasoning for saying that shit is these students are just whining about nothing. So then we get actual fucking overt racism the next day in silence. Where are these people now? Where are these people? You guys are so outraged that a fucking cameraman wasn't able to get in people's face and callously take pictures of their pain. Why weren't they using that freedom of speech last night to get their ass out there where people were not wanting that the pictures taken because they were harassing and being threatening to the students? Where were those guys at? Where are the pictures from last night? Oh, then the students are supposed to do it, right? Got it. Okay, cool. On Facebook, the student body president Peyton Head warned that the KKK had been spotted on campus, advising students to stay away from windows and residence halls, and the student government demanded that the administration cancel classes. It's 2015, guys. 2015.
Not 1963.
This isn't trying to integrate Alabama.
Come on now.
It's 2015. There's absolutely nothing to indicate that the KKK is on campus, MUPD Major Brian Weimer told the Man Eater. Head subsequently retracted his earlier claims. I'm sorry about the misinformation I shared through social media in a state of alarm. I was concerned for all the students at the University of Missouri and wanted to ensure that everyone was safe. I received and shared information from multiple incorrect sources, which I deeply regret. The last thing needed to incite more fear in the hearts of our community in the future. Please receive emergency updates from MU Alert at Missouri. So that thing, right? So on Yik Yak, someone put, some of you are right, don't go to campus tomorrow. Tomorrow, Mizzou will really make national news. Those are the threats that were put out there. So it says the first part of this message would appear to be a reference to the UMPQA community college student Chris Harper Mercer, who is a leader. I've written a similar message on the 4chan message board. Some of you guys are all right, don't go to school tomorrow. MUPD is aware of social media threats as increased security, said the chancellor. On Twitter, students reported that there was a blue truck that was driving around campus harassing students of color. Another man was seen stomping around something called the speaker circle, shouting a racist rant by himself. Also on Tuesday, a threat was called in to a meeting between the Missouri Legislative Black Caucus and members of the group Concerned Students 1950 at the Black Cultural Center. ABC 17 News reports the building was locked down and MUPD is investigating the call. MU Alert then put, there's no immediate threat to campus, please do not spread rumors and follow MU Alert for updates. So yeah, you talk about how sensitive these kids are, but this is what you get, right?
Right. And to me, all it does is prove the points of the students. Like, in my opinion, all it does is prove that y'all let this shit go on. You did not care. And it's one of the things where a lot of student and probably faculty too are pissed that man resigned and the other man is, you know, being let go, because a lot of people don't care about the status quo as long as the status quo benefits them.
Right.
And I'll take your money, I'll take your tuition, you can go here and get in enough debt that you fucking are paying for a home that you'll never live in for the rest of your life, or a car you will never drive for the rest of your life, in debt that, depending on the economy, you may or may not be able to pay this shit back. We'll do that. We'll take all that money. But the stipulation is that you have to deal with racism. The stipulation is that every now and then somebody's gonna call you a nigga. The stipulation goes with that. But the thing is, there's nowhere else that deals with customer service, because they're paying you for the service of education, where any of this bullshit would be allowed. But for some reason, it's allowed here. Anywhere else, if I paid for a service and somebody turned around and called me a nigga, we would have a fucking problem. We would have a problem. And anywhere else, you would demand respect. You would demand that they not treat you like this. I don't see the difference. You have parents paying. You have students paying. People are paying. And for a lot of these universities, Black people are a large percentage, particularly Black females. We are very, very high percentage as far as going to college, just across the board. And we graduate at a higher rate across the board. So when push comes to shove, they can take their money and go somewhere else. And they may be a quote unquote small percentage, but I promise you, that few millions of dollars, you're going to miss that money. You're going to miss that money if these students go home and say, I don't want to go back. If their parents take them out and said, fuck that bullshit, you will not return. There are consequences and repercussions to this. You can't just allow people to just do this and think that nothing's going to happen. And there was also showing too that there are other universities that are coming out, and other students across the country, somewhere up in New York, in Ithaca, New York, were coming out and said this shit happened. This shit happens all across the country, and it does not matter what university you go to. PWI, HBCU, racism is racism, and it happens everywhere.
Yeah, the fact that some people were trying to turn this into a historically Black college versus PWI debate is tasteless.
Right.
Tasteless and classless. It's not, HBCUs are not to be used as a cudgel against your fellow Black people in America to try to taunt them, tease them, or take in a time of trauma even, to try to demean them for going to a predominantly white school. Wherever Black people go, that's where the fight's gonna be. So even at a HBCU, you're still gonna have issues with dealing with racism on and off campus. Okay, I do find that it was a great opportunity, and I'm so glad I went. I'll never regret it and whatnot. But no matter where you go as a Black person in America, you deserve to be respected. And you should not have to accept anything less. So I don't buy this isolationist tactic of, well, if you're Black and you choose to go somewhere else, you deserve or should just expect to be disrespected and you should just deal with it. That's antithetical to everybody who's fighting for Black people to be free and for us to be equal. That's wherever you go, that space, your space, deserves to be free. So whether it's 30 other white people in the class or whether it's 30 black people in your class, you still deserve to be treated with equal, with respect. So I really hated that people even brought that up. I didn't participate in that debate at all because I just felt like it's so fruitless. It's fruitless even when it's not in the times of a time like this, but it's fruitless altogether, period.
Right, because what you're doing is that you're diverting the conversation away from the issue. You're talking about other shit that's irrelevant to the situation at hand. And when I was up watching it last night, I thought about it because I've been to college. I've been on campus. I've been in situations where emergencies and shit has happened. I was an RA when 9/11 happened. So I completely understand what happens when the whole fucking campus go in panic. And the thing about it, when 9/11 happened, it's college campus. I know Fayetteville State, it's college campuses that fucking shut down. There was no goddamn nowhere near New York, but they shut the fuck down anyway. They shut down and closed. You know, but yet when it's something that directly affects the population of your university and they're telling you that there's something wrong, you ignore these, you ignore their plight and say that their plight is not real. So what has to happen? Does a student have to get killed on your campus and somebody with a hood, a white hood stabbing them have to be caught on camera for you go, oh shit?
Yeah, one professor actually resigned, because the students emailed him, you know, and they were like, hey, I know we have exam tomorrow, but I don't feel safe coming to class because that someone is threatening to kill people tomorrow. And it doesn't feel like I don't feel safe coming to class. Can you just give me another date that I can come make this up and I'll take the test in? And so then he basically wrote, if you don't feel safe coming to class, then don't come to class. I will be there. There will be an exam administered in our class. If you give in to bullies, they win. The only way bullies are defeated is by standing up to them. If we cancel the exam, they win. If we go through with it, they lose. I know which side I'm on. You make your own choice, Dr. Brigham. To which I was immediately like, yeah, they gotta get rid of him. Cause
that's insensitive.
It's above insensitive. It's not safe.
Right.
This isn't.
I don't give a fuck about your test.
Yeah, this isn't a guy who wants to take my lunch money.
Right.
And you know when the wrong time for this shit would be? When someone's shooting up the school.
Right.
We can't look at you and be like, well, you called this wrong, didn't you? Right? Like, no. We need to make sure that the campus is safe. Like you said, we shut down Fayetteville State for fucking 9/11.
Right. Campuses all across the country shut down. Campuses shut down for Oklahoma City bombing. Like, campuses shut down all the... You shut down for a motherfucking football game, a goddamn basketball game. People will shut down their campuses for things that they think that are worthy of it. They have the right and the option. You just didn't think that this situation was worthy of shutting down your campus.
Right. So yeah, he ended up basically resigning his position and canceling the exam, to which I'm sure a lot of people are gonna be like, wow, you know, he's such a great professor and he shouldn't have had to resign and all this shit, of course, you know. Y'all made him resign and all this shit, but, he basically did something stupid.
Right.
You know.
That's not the proper way to respond to somebody. And the thing is, how can I properly take a test when I'm fucking frightened?
Right. I mean, yeah, it's just callous. It's not his problem.
Right. So he doesn't care.
So it's like, fuck you. So I don't think it's a real problem to me. I haven't lived under this fear that you experienced. So fuck you. Come to class. What do I care? You know, you going to be a bitch. That's basically what he said. You going to let the bullies win? If the bullies trying to take my life over some arbitrary shit like race, yeah.
Right. You and that test can kiss my ass.
I pay your salary to get this education.
Right.
Not the other way around, you know? So they actually arrested a suspect today.
Good.
For making a terrorist threat.
Good.
So that was good. Without providing much detail about the suspect, the University of Missouri confirmed the arrest Wednesday morning, noting the person was not located on or near MU campus at the time of the arrest. The school's ongoing chancellor, R. Bowen Lofton, also noted on Twitter the man used multiple accounts to threaten students. Yeah, troll tactics.
Right.
But since at the time, no one can confirm what the fuck is going on, It just feels like 10 people hate you. 10 people are threatening to kill you.
Right.
You know, I hope they treat it seriously. He should be treated like the way that we treat people that make threats about blowing up buildings and shit.
Come on,
that
are now. Like
Islamic terrorists and shit. We don't give him a curve for, you know, like, well, he only made a threat on the internet. We go, no, that's a threat. You go to jail. So yeah, that's, they did release a mugshot of the douchebag and they got him. So I'm glad that, I'm glad they got him out of there, man.
Mm-hmm.
It was just crazy. You know, and then of course these threats have happened. That's kind of what started a lot of this shit. These threats and this talk, this is not a shit's been going on for a while. It's kind of amazing. The president gets fired and then within a day they catch, you know, they catch the dude, one of the dudes making threats. Maybe the kids are right. And yeah, if you had a lot of shit to say about that cameraman not being allowed in there, you had a lot of shit to say about how wrong the students were. One, he went on Twitter, the cameraman guy, and was like, I don't want to be part of this story. Y'all can get back to the actual topic at hand, this racism.
Right.
So why don't you honor his wishes and move the fuck on? Cause he's moved on. The actual professor or whatever position she was that came out there and barred his entry has issued an apology. She said, I was wrong for that shit, which I kind of expected to happen anyway. Cause she's a journalism professor and she knew it was wrong. She just didn't care.
Right.
And y'all can take that up with her, whatever y'all want to see happen to her. But, you know, I personally empathize with those students who have dealt with and experienced that discrimination and the other issues, you know. So, you know, you guys can be letter of the law, stick to the rules, all that shit you want to. But like I said, I didn't see anybody out there snapping pictures and being on campus last night.
Mm-mm. You were nowhere to be found.
Right. Every time black people stand up for themselves, we got to deal with this backlash. Because like I told you, these guys rooting for these kids on the field, they're rooting for those colors on those jerseys. They're not rooting for the color of those people's skin. They're not rooting for those people as people. They just want to see big time football and be entertained. That's it. And you play with that toy, you dangled it away and said, hey, might not play this football. And then they fucking lost their minds. Which tells you a lot about what they thought about you going into it.
Come on now.
All right. And then, yeah, we can do Walking Dead now. Sorry. Had to talk about that, guys. I would say that's fucking with black people, but you know, not, you know, obviously be 100 for the last 3 days. So. All right, man. So this is episode number 5 of season 6 of The Walking Dead, which means we're now over halfway to the halfway point for season 6. Let's go. They walking. Let's do it. Okay. So this episode is called Now. Directed by Avi Yobe. Never heard of him or her. I actually do not know the race or gender of this person now that I think about it. Okay. Looks like a brown man. And also written by Corey Reed. And it got a 12.44 rating, so it's slightly down. I think now that people realize they're not going to get Glenn's story right away, they've given up. You know what I mean? They're like, so we're not getting Glenn's fate right away? Nope. Well, you know what? Fuck it. I'll catch it on the DVR. But in this episode, basically, Rick gets back to Alexandria. And we get to see the aftermath of the wolves attack, how it's affecting the Alexandrians, who are now realizing that it's a whole new world.
The ones that survived.
A whole new world out there that
they knew nothing about.
It ain't like what you thought about or what you read in the books.
Mm-mm.
So, yeah, you got that. And then you got, you know, some romantic relationships blooming, Maggie's reaction to Glenn not returning, and a bunch of stuff like that. You know, I saw on Twitter, as always, a lot of people hated this episode, but let's be honest, they hate every episode right at this point. They just keep watching. Which I've kind of been thinking about it kind of the more ethereal terms. Like, I think a lot of the reason people hate every episode of Walking Dead but still watch it is because they don't hate every episode of Walking Dead. No, they hate the anticipation between episodes where they have to wait for the questions to be answered. Right. And especially with the way they tell the story, with how they skip around from topic to topic. Like, yeah, they might leave you with a cliffhanger week 3, but they might not answer that cliffhanger till week 6.
Right.
That bothers a lot of people, whereas if they were binge watching it on Netflix or something, they wouldn't have that issue at all.
Mm-mm.
And it's one of the reasons I brought up a long time ago that Netflix has an edge, and all of their series get rated probably, is say if you go to 0 to 10, they probably, all their series probably get rated 2 points higher than every other, like, than it would be if it was on a weekly basis.
True.
Because you can just go to the next episode. There's no such thing as a cliffhanger in Netflix. Just, okay, well, let's just see what's on next. Like,
yeah,
all 13 episodes of this are off. A lot of the frustration I'm seeing from fans are, they're really upset that they have to wait. They're like, well, what about Glenn? It's like, well, obviously they weren't going to tell you. You knew that when they did
right.
it.
You knew that at the end of the preview, with the preview for the next week.
Right. Or, you know, why they got to do an episode about Morgan. Is episode about Morgan's not that bad if it's not taking up the week in your mind of what about Glenn? You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I think Netflix has an edge over other formats because of that. And that's why when you talk to people about Netflix series, very rarely do you hear somebody go, I didn't like that.
Right, because most of the time when they drop it, even series that they create themselves, it's the entire series.
Right. Like, I'm sorry to cut you off, but even an episode that's about character building and stuff on Netflix is just 45 to 50 minutes and then boom, I'm on to the next one. So
right.
It's like, even if I go, oh, it slowed down, it speeds right back up. I don't have to wait 14 days.
True. That's how I was. I started watching The Arrow. I think we was going like on season 2 or 3 when I started watching The Arrow.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started watching it, I sat down and I watched it on Netflix. And at the beginning, it is slow because you're character building, you're introducing everybody, you're finding out who they are, and it's slow. But because I was able to watch it through Netflix, when it got to the end, just go to the next episode. And like you said, when shit happened and they got the cliffhangers, you'd be like, oh shit, and I fuck around and I've spent 6 hours watching Netflix.
Right. It's a totally different experience, and I think not enough deference is given to that because people are so myopic, and you know, anticipation is just part of it. And I think because the circumstances are so dire, it's such a high wire act every week with this show, people for the most part can only talk about what they don't like about it,
right?
Because it's like, why I gotta wait for this, why did this character do that? Well, they're gonna show you why. It's not like they ever don't show you why.
Correct.
Which is one of the reasons I trust in the show and I'm okay. Like, they always go back to like, and this is why this person does this stupid shit. Like, it's not, they're just stupid, that's the end. It's always like, oh, and Morgan had a fucking reformation of his the way he thinking, now all life is precious and you got 90 minutes to figure of that, you know. Anyway, so let's get into the scene by scene breakdown. Oh wait, first, what'd you think about this episode now?
Oh, I loved it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I liked it a lot too. I felt like it was character building.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like this is one of those episodes where we actually do most of the learning and foreshadowing for things to come.
Mm-hmm.
And you need these episodes because without them, all you do is you have people going around telling everybody how stupid the characters are or how nonsensical the writing is and why do people do this and why do people do that, when really these are episodes where they build it up. Like, these are episodes where you find out, like, oh, maybe Ron's got something up his sleeve, or, you know, whereas if they just fucking cut to, you know, them shooting or something, you know, it would be different. So, anyway, let's go ahead and, get into it. It's, rewatch time. So the first thing I realized when they showed the flashback from the damage done to Alexandria.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of those trucks from the trap with the zombie walkers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, was it you or was it
was
just,
me.
It was you?
Mm-hmm.
That it was one of those trucks, and it does make you wonder if there's zombies still in the back or not.
Right.
Although at this point, there's so many zombies outside. Like,
cause nobody even checked and looked. Right?
Yeah, and there's so many zombies outside now. I mean, they'd just be another, just another batch to deal with, I guess. But, it is interesting, you know, and anything could be in there. Honestly, could be people in there. Who knows?
Right. But I do think it was a trap. I do think it was designed to basically crash through the gates of the walls and let
and zombies open up.
Right. So that it could be pure chaos. So that you got the zombies killing people. You got them killing. You know, it's just so much chaos that even if you would have been prepared, you wouldn't have been prepared for that.
Right. This opens up with Deanna looking like death.
Oh my gosh, she gave up on life.
Right? She's just like, you know what? Fuck makeup. It's zombie apocalypse.
Right? I don't give a rat's ass.
Who I'm looking good for? My husband dead.
Right. My baby gone too.
Right. So she was looking like death, and she was climbing a ladder to go to the top of the wall, and Reg's name is up there, which is sad. Just a sad reminder that he built those walls and he's the reason they're safe.
Mm-hmm.
And she's looking out to survey the damage outside and see if anything's coming. And you can hear Michonne talking to Maggie in the background, basically saying she doesn't know what happened to Glenn, but he said if he got stuck, he'd send a signal, and they haven't sent a signal yet, so they're worried about him and he might be dead. And, you know, and Maggie, and I'm sorry, and Deanna has that same stare on her face that Nicholas had, in my opinion.
Right. She just zoned out where she wasn't really hearing anything, you know, everything was kind of muffled sounding, like almost like she was daydreaming.
So they basically she snaps out of it when she hears Rick at the saying open the gate,
mm-hmm.
yelling at the top of his lungs, which we knew that was Rick a couple weeks ago because of the closed caption,
right?
And then they open the gate and they see Rick running through basically a herd of walkers, like hot on his tail. Some of them kind of surrounding the fence, but not really close to him. He's able to dodge them.
Right.
But this means Rick has been running for so long.
My
between this lat the 2 weeks ago episode and now, just, I mean, he must have got out the RV somehow.
Right.
And then ran all the way.
I don't know how far he was away, but he was miles away.
In them damn cowboy boots.
Right. I know he got all kinds of blisters. I hope he ain't got no coins.
You know he got coins.
What?
So he's running. He's just like, you know, move away from the gate with, you know, all this stuff. And, you know, and Karen, you were right. You said he probably just ran or hightailed it back on foot. And I was like, I don't know, you know, maybe Dale came back or something. Nope. So you know, he stank
like ass. Yes, he does.
So they let him in. Meanwhile, Deanna's also just staring, looking at what's going on with Rick, seeing it with the Nicholas vision of the coward vision, TM.
Right.
And, she finally saw her first herd of walkers.
That's right.
You know, and I forgot that as tough as she is, she's never really had to do shit. It's kind of why it's always been a sort of a comical element to, you know, the Sheriff Deanna, you know, persona that she had, where she just looks you in the eyes. She can tell that she can trust you if you're lying. And then she gives you your assignment for what you're going to do for a living. And she has all these plans for this town, and Rick has always from day one been very consistent, like, yo, these people don't know what the fuck they're doing.
Right.
Like, they are lucky as shit. I don't know how they got this lucky, but this is ours now. So it's, and by ours it means we had a responsibility to protect it as well as run it. And yeah. Basically those who can't swim are gonna sink, so fuck them.
Right, because he's like, y'all ain't stressing me out no more. Y'all ain't gotta worry about me being in the middle of the street pulling the gun out on nobody. Fuck it. I'm not fighting y'all. I'm not battling y'all. And I think it's just, to me, it's the difference in leadership. And I think she was more of a mayor, quote unquote, per se, than a leader.
Right.
You know, she could delegate duties and shit like that. And it was like one of the things, how you have like the good time person, how, you know, they're over it doing good times, but when times get bad, right now she, you know, she's not built for that. And it kind of showed last week that she was not built for that life.
Yeah, she can't fight. She doesn't really have any skills other than delegating tasks to people.
Right.
And this is not, she, in all fairness, she had no idea how bad it was outside those walls.
No, she didn't.
They've, you know, that's why I love the Quarry, storyline, because basically we're finding out why they're soft. Like, they're not just, like, they're pathetically weak, but they're just so fucking lucky. They just have no idea. It's like being born with white privilege, you know?
Right, because basically, Rick and them was like, everywhere else, the towns are destroyed. Like, you have zombies walking everywhere, or if people are surviving, like, the shit that Rick was suggesting, they would have already done because they would have dealt with it. But, you know, like you said, because of the Quarry, it protected them. That for them, this shit was normal. Like, we were here, and, you know, we had a handful of people that may have saw some shit, but most of us really didn't see no action.
So Rick gives a rousing halftime speech. Now, it looked like he had went and took a shower. I don't know. But he basically tells them, like,
go, look, team, go.
Look, you know how he does. He's all, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And he's basically saying, look, we're going to be quiet. Okay, the zombies are out there, but, you know, our people are still alive. I expect all of my people that are survivors to come back. Sasha, Abe, Daryl, they'll come back. They'll lead the zombies away from the gate, just like they did the rest of them. We'll be fine. You know, we got a plan. It's gonna work. Just be quiet. No lights on at night. No loud noises. Stay away from the walls, and we'll be okay. And you know, some people were kind of doubting him and stuff, and he was, you know, saying like, the wall's gonna hold together, we reinforced it in certain places, the wall's gonna hold together, can you?
Right, which is a very, very good question.
Yeah, because Alexandria's have been the weakest part of Alexandria so far.
Yes, they have.
Aaron's face was full of guilt right here. And you know, they have shots of the crowd, and you can kind of see, like, Morgan's holding his staff and chilling. Michonne's there.
Right. And while he was giving that speech, he was like, we're going to talk about some things.
Oh, yeah.
And he looked at Morgan.
Oh, yeah. I'm getting to it.
Okay. My bad.
No, now, I didn't see Carol there. I didn't see Carol anywhere this whole week. So I don't know what's up with her. So he said the others, they're going to be back. Rosita repeats, they're going to be back. When Rick mentions Glenn, Maggie, I saw look kind of uncomfortable and step towards him. And I just thought, man, she's lost so much. Her sister, her father, her, I think even her brother at the beginning of it or something. Like, she lost a lot.
Right.
Like, and all she's got left is Glenn.
Right. That, and I think some of the family members had turned and was actually, not all, but some of the family members were actually down in that,
that farm.
Right.
Okay. So yeah, I just know she's lost a lot, you know, and Glenn, that's just another thing she's lost, you know? So Ron was looking at Carl during this speech that Rick was giving, and he kind of reached for his knife.
Right.
While looking at Carl. So, you know, now it's like, is Carl now the object of Ron's hatred? I mean, it went from Rick to Carl now. Like, I guess he did feel some kind of way about Enid being over Carl's house during the wolf invasion.
Right, but he didn't ask no questions to find out. He just made assumptions.
Yeah, weirdo.
Yeah, but that's how teenagers are. Shit, some adults are like that. But go ahead.
But everybody was barely listening to Rick. They were kind of doubting him and shit, because he's still an outsider. Until Aaron let them know that Rick had done a great job. He was like, look, Rick's plan saved us. This is actually only half of the fucking zombies that were out there.
Right, that we'd have had the whole herd. There's no way it could have held up.
Yeah, and then he basically said, I'm partially responsible for this. Those wolves got in because they followed the plans and the documents that I had in my bag. So he basically fessed up, which is a big moment, because I'm like, yo, Aaron's trustworthy. He didn't have to be coerced. He didn't have to be found out.
Nope.
You know, Rick probably already suspected some shit anyway. And now it's like,
that's boom. Right, because he had the applesauce in the RV.
Yeah, but it wasn't the same applesauce that Rick gave Aaron, that Rick, it wasn't, I don't think it was the same exact applesauce. That's applesauce probably been ate, but he just knew that those wolves had come from Alexandria.
Right.
He didn't necessarily know that they got anything from Aaron.
Ah, okay.
Anyway, so, Aaron's, admission though was pretty, was, you know, it was a pretty stand up moment in my opinion, because he didn't have to say shit.
Nope. But he and just then, felt so bad and guilty.
Yeah. He felt, yeah. He kind of felt like the town deserved to know. And Rick, was looking dead at Morgan and says, there'll be more to talk about. And I'm like, yo, Rick knows Morgan let those wolves go. He gotta know.
Yeah.
Why is he looking at him like that?
Yeah, and they had a gun too? Yes.
I would be shocked if he didn't know. Because Rick almost died because of that shit.
Right.
But Rick knows his priorities, and it's not the time to talk to Morgan about it right now. Jesse, everybody's favorite single mom. She was out burying all those stank ass wolf corpses, or at least dragging them out the house and getting ready to bury them.
Right.
Like starting with the one that she had stabbed in the face in front of her son.
She gave that lady the business. Oh, I couldn't even imagine how long it would take to clean that blood, because the lady basically had soaked into the wood. Oh.
So Jesse is doing that at the graveyard. Rick comes up with this dumbass rule about not burying killers inside the walls.
Right. Don't nobody give a fuck.
I'm like, dude, come on. And she just looked at him like, they gonna stink. It's hot. You smell like rat's ass.
Right.
And I'm fucking too tired for this shit. And he's like, look, we're not gonna do it. Just, you know, we'll do it later, basically. And I'm like, I get it, but I mean, I understand his whole, like, all lives are not precious and we need to draw a boundary. Like, he's like, they're going
all
so,
lives don't matter.
Yeah, they're doing so hard to make sure he's the opposite of Morgan on this one, but mm-hmm. We get it. Like, Rick's like, no, there are bad people and good people. Everybody kills people, but some people do it for the wrong reasons.
Yes.
Olivia, who is in charge of the guns and food, just learned how to shoot last week, you know.
Right.
She's in there telling all the townspeople to not raid the pantry, and it was not very convincing. Mm. Everybody was like, bitch, we taking all this shit.
All right, what are you talking about?
She didn't even pull a gun on nobody. She just sat there and let them take it. Deanna was watching. Deanna didn't say anything.
Mm-mm.
And Olivia just threw her hands up like, fuck it, they taking everything, you know. Everybody's like, I gotta feed my family. So luckily Spencer was there,
her other son,
who was Deanna's son that's alive, and Spencer stepped in to mansplain it to her, to everybody. Said, excuse me guys, white man talking here.
You gotta listen now.
We need to ration ourselves and not give up, because if we do, this will be chaos. And this one dude named Bruce was like, why don't you go back to watching the fence? And Spencer was like, yeah, bitch, I shot that walker and kept that motherfucker from breaking over the fence, which I did call on the show. I think Adrian was saying, like, that, you know, the walker was already dead or something, whatever. All I'm saying is, whatever he did to shoot that shit up saved everybody.
Mm-hmm.
He got lucky, but it happened. And he was basically like, yeah, the fuck were you at, Bruce? And I was like, you know what? Good point, Spencer. Also, Bruce, you're a little chubby, man. You like you can stand to miss a few meals. It's all right. I don't think Bruce even had a family. I think he was just saying that. He was getting all the Hungry Man dinners and shit. So Spencer's speech gave Deanna a little motivation to get her shit together. And I finally saw her face kind of focus and smile a little bit. And I think that was the moment where she decided, like I couldn't tell at the time, like, did she decide, I raised a good son, this place is in good hands, now I'm gonna go kill myself? Or she was like,
right,
or she was like, you know what, he's right and he's holding together, so why can't I, you know? And proud of the, you know, Alexandrians who are gonna make it, basically.
True. And or I guess for me, mm-hmm. I kind of seen it as the leadership was quote unquote changing, and she looked, because she didn't respond to say anything, almost like this might I might be in the blessed place, which is not in leadership.
Right. Like maybe other people can handle the burden for now.
Right.
They started drawing all the name, writing all the names on the wall of the people that were dead or missing. Well, actually just the people that were dead in their opinions. And they put Nicholas and Glenn.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, Aaron saw this and he felt so guilty and responsible that he actually lost his composure for a little bit. And like he was about to cry, and out the corner of his eye, he saw Maggie getting packing up like she was getting ready to go
leave. On a camping trip.
Yeah. And you know Maggie, and we know how Maggie is about fucking Glenn. And it's one of the reasons that I kind of don't like them is because they do the most riskiest shit for each other.
Right. And put other people at risk.
Right. So Maggie's packing up her shit, walking towards the pantry where the guns and all this shit is. And Aaron sees her and follows her. He sees that she has some ropes and some fireworks and some other shit, and flashlights. And he's like, okay, I see what you're gonna do. You're gonna try to throw these contraptions out there from the wall, distract the zombies for a little bit, clear a path, and then you're gonna run through all the zombies and try to go find Glenn. I can't let you do this. And she said, you can't stop me. And he said, basically like, well, what happens when you twist your ankle falling down the wall?
Come on now.
One walker grabs you and now you got to deal with all the walkers because they slowed you down. Like, this is a dumbass plan.
Right, to check it alone and you have no idea where he is.
Right. And so he basically was like, okay, I'm not trying to stop you, but let me help you. And the thing for this I did realize is, I think this could be a way of seeing it. You know, maybe I'm reading too much into it, but I feel like Maggie is trying to go see Glenn at this point because of how she didn't go after her sister.
That's a possibility. That's right.
Like, I feel like, you know,
she's trying to make up for it.
The thing that she learned about Beth is that you don't give up on people. Because maybe if she hadn't given up on Beth, she would have found her a little bit earlier and saved her life.
Right.
Rather than having her die, you know,
moments before she was about to see her.
Right. Because that was a big problem. You know what I mean? So I feel like that was Maggie's new outlet look is, I got to try.
Right.
You know, who knows? Maybe she would have done this for Glenn anyway. And that's just how she always is. I don't know. Because she was doing this shit for Glenn even when Beth was missing. Last year, remember when she was like walking with Sasha and Bob and left them behind and shit, covered herself in zombie guts. So, you know, who knows? Maybe it was just that dick. She's like, actually, I'm just after this dick. It don't matter. If it was my sister, I still leave her out there. Anyway, Aaron was on top of his shit and was like, you know, I got a plan to get you out. I know a better way. And he's like, follow me. And Maggie's like, okay, you know. Deanna meanwhile is sitting in her house and she creates an entire blueprint for how to make Alexandria a better prepared, self-sustaining place. And at this point is I realized that the actress who's been playing Deanna is such a good actress because she has had like four lines in this entire first five episodes of dialogue. Like she just doesn't have any long speeches anymore. She doesn't have a lot of scenes where she's going back and forth with Rick and argue, like everything is just like, just do what he says, listen to Rick. That's pretty much like our, like if you had a button, remember those when you were a kid they had those speaking spell things or whatever where you pull the string and then it's just like the cow goes moo. I feel like that's what was happening with her, where you just pull the string and she goes, listen to Rick.
In several different ways.
Do what Rick says.
Yes, I remember that doll.
Just listen to Rick, like over and over, right?
Mm-hmm.
The cow goes, listen to Rick. So she finally, like she didn't say a word this whole scene, but she wrote all this stuff down in this plan on this blueprint of Alexandria and basically was like, boom, this is the plan for sustainability. You have, and I wrote down some of the shit that she put, but it was like, you know, crops, education, training, panels. They got solar panels. They, like, she had everything just kind of mapped out.
Right, because I and this is just me when she did that. I I guess my perspective was like, she's getting ready to die.
Like she's like this is her plan to hand this off to somebody else. Like maybe she's gonna kill herself, and she just recognizes that she won't be in the will in the world. So it's almost like a last will and testament type thing,
right? Or her manifesto, quote unquote, per se. Mm-hmm. Because and I think that that's something that her husband had talked about,
right?
And visioned and dreamed, and you know they were probably getting ready to lay that plan out before he died, and then she just never picked it up again. And it was one of those things where she said, "You know what? I better do this now while it's on my mind."
Yeah, and then like she wrote some words and. In Latin that basically said like this is a plan that for when you like this you'll need this plan at some point, you know what I mean? Like it wasn't exactly word for word, but I went and looked it up because I don't, you know, it was Delor H.C. Tibby Proterit Olim.
Oh, I know, I didn't know which, what it
meant. Yeah, it means someday this plan will be useful to you, you know. So she basically was like, cool, that like this is gonna be the plan at some point, and maybe it won't be useful to her, maybe she was writing that as a for someone else,
right?
But like, hey, you can use this plan and make this place a livable place. And I love this, one of the things she wrote was that they have to keep exploring, like expansion. Like she was basically like expansion and exploration, like we can't give up on the outside world still. And I like that because I think a lot of this is proving that, because without exploration they wouldn't have even found out about that zombie quarry. They would have just died,
right? Because everything broke through and then they'd hoard, you know, had to deal with hundreds of thousands of zombies out of nowhere. Yes.
Yeah, they wouldn't even have met Rick's people.
Nope.
All right, so she then hears a glass breaking in her house, and she walks to the kitchen, and Spencer's in there, and he's getting drunk off his ass off of some liquor that he stole from the motherfucking pantry.
After he turned around and told them people not to take it, take shit.
And she was like, so that was all bullshit, what you said, you that speech you gave? And he was like, look, baby, them rules is for regular people. I'm a white man. I do what the fuck I want. Like, I hope you didn't think them rules was for everybody.
Yeah, the rules didn't apply to me.
And he basically said, look, if everybody would have broken in there and stole a little bit, it would have been chaos. But if one person breaks in there and steals a lot for themselves, nobody gonna notice, baby. Now I'm gonna get drunk. And he said, one last celebration, because they were right, Mom, and you know it. We're all gonna be dead soon. And she was like, what the fuck, man? Like, I can't believe you right now. He's like, I can't believe you! You know, and I was like, you know, he's like, he once again, I felt like this episode is about the Alexandrians going through this realizations that the other crew, Rick's crew, went through in season one.
Right.
Like this, like if we had a role playing game, everybody in Alexandria is joining your party and they're at level one and they need to level up fast.
Right.
And Rick and those guys are like level fucking 97. It's just like, you know, like.
Right. And it's like they're going through the shock, the horror, the disbelief, the going through the emotional thing, losing family members. And, you know, so for them, they, like I said, they, a lot of them have been in that group. Some of these people wouldn't surprise me if they didn't lose a family member until the wolves attacked. So, you know, to them, it's just shock and horror. And Rick and them like, this is the way it is, y'all.
Right. So, Spencer then goes off on Deanna. He's like, you know, he was like a liberal white person that voted for Obama and got mad that we weren't pro-racial, you know.
Oh,
he's,
Lord.
He's like, you just wanted to dream. What happened to Dad? What happened to Aiden? That's all you. Only thing he didn't do was call her Deanna. You know, just, it's all you, Deanna, okay? And so after he said that, he obviously wounded her, and you know, he realized, I think he had gone a little too far.
Mm-hmm.
And then he paused and went back to drinking, and I was just like, this son of a bitch.
So she's a good one. She must be really sad and depressed, because trying to tell you, I expected her to hit him, smack him, jump on him, or something, because he crossed that line where you like, motherfucker, no, the fuck you didn't.
Look, man, I love Nina and everything, but this is what happened when you don't whoop your kids. I'm sorry. Okay? Kids bad. Kids don't listen. nobody tell Nina I said that. That's a joke.
All my babies is precious.
Mm-hmm. Until they grow up and stop being grateful that she helped them sustain a house. And start blaming them for the death of Donnie.
Oh Lord. Cause mm-hmm. he was eating pizza on L.
Mm-hmm. Carl is checking on Ron to see if he's okay, and Ron is so hurt that Enid was at Carl's house, and he don't even want to go look for Enid because, you know, they know that she left and she's on the other side of the fence, but mm-hmm. he's like, well, she's probably dead, and Carl's like, motherfucker, come on, it's Enid. You know she alive. We just need to go find her.
Right.
And
she left way before the zombies came and hurted the wall.
Yeah, and then he said, this is for Enid, your friend, and Ron goes, my girlfriend. I said, since when have they been boyfriend and girlfriend? They did not. Is he just saying that because she's dead and she can't say shit now?
Possibility.
Because, like, yeah. I don't, you know, and he might have some of his daddy in him. That obsessive, possessive jealousy.
Right. And it wouldn't surprise me if he would, because the way Enid is, he'd probably like, you're my girlfriend. And I know her. She go, okay, whatever. I mean, you know, right. Just because she's so laid back, but it really don't mean they had a relationship. She right. was like, whatever makes you happy.
When he was crying, she just hugged him. Like, right.
It was no emotional connection to them.
But Ron might be a little psychopath growing up in that house, seeing all that abuse. Not, right. You know, this isn't not a world where they have access to counseling and all this right. shit.
Not knowing how a relationship is supposed to function properly.
Right. And he already had been looking at Carl holding his knife and shit. So I'm like, what's up with this motherfucker? Right. So Carl's like, well, fuck it then, man. I'll go look for him myself. And he's like, nah, he tries to stop him. He said, I'm not gonna let you. And they start push. They get into the sissiest, wussiest fight I've ever seen in my life. Like, it was just like most kids fight, but it's like, no.
Pushing and shoving, you're right.
Finally, Ron falls, and I did laugh a little bit, because when Ron hit the ground, he coughed like he got asthma. Like, he hit the ground, he's like, anyway, I'm gonna tell your daddy. I was like, oh, so his plan was to tell Rick, because he knew Rick wouldn't let Carl leave. He's like, and if your father goes after you, then other people go after you. So you'll basically be putting the town at risk. So he basically guilted Carl into staying.
Right, which is actually smart.
Right. Cut to the infirmary. Denise, the brand new doctor who just got promotion 3 weeks ago.
Right. Unwanted it, but she got it.
She's browsing through Wikipedia, looking up trying to look up a solution to that brother that got shot in the leg by that bullet.
Wikipedia Webster hardback edition.
Right. I don't know why I'm blowing a blank with that brother's name, but she basically was like, look, I don't know what's going on. She's looking through the book like, Negroes and bullets, how do you stop it? And she couldn't find the chapter, so she slid the book across the floor like, fuck it.
Right, I'm tired of looking at these words.
Right about then, Tara walked in, right as the book was sliding towards the door. She looked down at the book. She looked over at Denise, who was on the ground crying, kind of sitting in, what do you call that? I was going to say Indian style, but I feel like that's probably offensive.
I don't think she was.
You don't think she was what?
Oh, yeah, she was sitting.
Definitely sitting. I don't know what we call that.
Yeah, I don't know. It's been known as Indian style, even right. though that's probably culturally insensitive.
She was sitting in culturally insensitive style.
Yes.
And
legs crossed legs, somebody yeah. said, yes.
Crisscross applesauce. She was right. sitting. And,
thank you. Thank you, chat room.
She was sitting there. Tara's like, yo, what's up, you know? And Denise like, you don't need to come in and check on me. And then Tara's like, actually, I came here because my head hurt. And she was like, oh, well, how's the pain, 0 to 10? And she was like, actually, I did come in and check on you, girl. What's up with them titties? And then Denise is like, you know, I'm basically all fucked up, you know, I'm the doctor, I should be reading a book somewhere, fucking sitting in my apartment chilling.
Right. I'm a psychologist. I'm not a doctor.
I'm waiting on a doctor to come through that door and basically relieve me from duty because I don't know what the fuck I'm doing
at all.
So now this is Denise basically getting her wake up call. you know, and I didn't, you know, pick up on. Now here's the thing, well actually we'll get to it later. All right, so then Tara's like, you know, look, the world's not over yet, because Denise is like, the world's over, it doesn't even matter if a doctor comes, we all gonna die. And Tara's like, no, the world's not over, we can survive this. Which is a huge thing, because Rick's people are like, we've seen some shit and been through some things.
Right. This is like work compared to the bullshit we've been through.
Yeah. Alexandrians are like, nah, we all gonna die. I've never seen a zombie before. And then Rick's crew is like, hey man, it's a way out of everything. Tara, before she leaves, kicks the book back over to Denise, like, keep reading, baby. And Tara and Denise takes the book back and opens it up. Meanwhile, the black brother is in the back, just sleeping in a coma from the bullet wound.
Oh yeah.
Jesse goes, or is going house to house checking on people, and she goes to this one person's house, and a woman has slit her wrist, committed suicide, and turned into a walker. Mm-hmm. Jesse opens up the door, stabs her in the head, and kills her in front of everybody.
Yes, sir.
I think that woman is Betsy. Betsy is the woman who had the, remember that dude that wrote a letter to his woman and they never got it to her?
Yeah, and they told her, like, hey, Michonne was like, hey, we tried to save him.
Right.
And you know, that would make sense. Right, because he did say he just recently got married. Yes, right.
That was Betsy, and she killed herself.
Yeah, that makes sense now.
So she couldn't take it without her new husband, and was like, it ain't even worth it, dog. And so everybody watched Jesse stab Betsy in the head, and Jesse turned around and gave a speech because she was so woke. She was like, this is what life looks like right now.
Right. I had to kill a bitch in my kitchen. Come on now.
Right. She's like, you think I wanted to put blood on my hardwood floors? And of course not.
Right. Shit might never come out.
But she said, this is what life looks like right now. We have to see it. We have to fight it. If we don't fight, we die. And then she said, now somebody picked this bitch up and walked out, because she did not clean up Betsy's body.
Mm-mm.
Although, what is the rules? If someone kills themselves, will Rick allow them to be buried in the walls?
I don't know. Just don't kill nobody else.
We got another Ninja Turtles reference this episode, as Aaron and Maggie go straight to the sewer like Das Effects.
Yes, they do.
And that's how they're going to get out of Alexandria. They're going to take the sewer out of Alexandria to go find Glenn. And they go into this tunnel, and Maggie just basically reveals, like, this is actually about closure. She just can't live without knowing Glenn's fate. Right. Which makes so much sense, considering how Beth died and how she just wrote Beth off and was okay and was like, oh, actually, the second I start hoping she's alive, I get stomach punched with her death.
All right.
So in the tunnel, she reveals it's about closure. Some sewer walkers pop out, and they are some straight up nightmare fuel. They're trying to break this grate open or something so they can get into this tunnel, and Aaron, like, it snaps off. Aaron gets hit in the head, he falls down into the water. Maggie goes to kill this one walker that's like really debilitated. It's like crawling. Well, I'm talking about, yeah, the first one is crawling, and when she does that, another walker pops out of nowhere that's standing like, roar, you know,
I'm right here, bitch,
because they've been in the sewer so long they basically look like camouflage. It's like in Aliens,
right,
when the aliens look like the fucking wall. So it's like, right, you know, you can get bit anywhere because you don't know what the fuck's going on. So the zombies are kind of, and then like Karen said, Maggie can't even grab it because right, it's like falling to pieces,
right, and slimy and shit.
Yes.
Oh.
Her hand was under the fucking walker's rib cage at one point.
Right, it went through it.
Such great special effects, by the way. You know, it's just walkers soaking in shit and water for the last however long,
and that will make sense, they would fall apart.
Right.
And the thing about it, especially the first one, how it was stuck and almost like glued to the ground like that, that was really neat looking.
Right. And so Aaron kind of snaps out of his pain for his head, kills his walker that's crawling on him, and then stabs the walker that's about to eat Maggie in right, the back of the head.
Right.
And then she gets all mad, like, I could have did it myself. It's like, no, you couldn't have. I'm sorry, Maggie, you absolutely could not have. You were going to die.
Yeah, right. And I'm thinking, you want to take this fucking trip by yourself?
The whole time she was telling him she wanted to do it by herself.
And he was like, I wouldn't be a man if I allowed you to go by yourself.
I don't even think it's about being a man. He just was like, this is stupid.
Right.
And Aaron was running from the guilt of watching them put names on that wall.
True.
He also needed an escape, which makes a lot of sense, like that would be his escape, is why he's one of the recruiters for the trips. Like, he leaves because he's like, yo, I need to get the fuck out of here.
That, and also I think too, he was like, I feel bad that they found it in the first place, and almost like Maggie, he's like, I feel bad, and they're out there because of me, and I let them here, you know, because of me, and just all that guilt, like you say, where he's like, I got to get out of here.
Right. And you know, it makes me wonder if, you know, since that, like, how's that never crossed his mind before that someone could have just killed him and took his pack and followed it back to Alexandria?
Optimistic, just naive. Yeah. I think it's one of the reasons why I think it was smart that, even though he could take care of himself, but it was times when he was out with Daryl where shit would happen. He would trip on shit, zombie come out, and Daryl be shaking his head like, nigga, what's wrong with you? You know, because it's like, he's just oblivious to a lot of shit. Even though he watched and he paid attention and kept his distance, it was just some shit that he did that you was like, okay, you're gonna fuck around and get yourself killed. And that's how it has a lot to do why he told his partner, hey, I want you to stay here because you ain't about this life.
Right. So
you off screen.
I'm off screen.
Mm-hmm.
Good. They don't deserve to see this shit. Okay. this for all my real ass niggas, okay?
Not real ass.
Chat room can't hear this unless they go listen to it later, all right? Fuck the chat room. All right. All right, we back.
He don't mean that.
Can't hear it, can't be quiet. They don't even know what happened. Anyway. So lucky for her, Aaron was there. She told Aaron he's gonna need stitches on his head. Just after he just saved her life, she's like, right. Now you need to go back. She's like, so you need stitches, so why don't you just go back? And he said, no, that's fucking dumb. You'd be dead if it wasn't for me.
Right.
And I'm like, oh man, Maggie's killing me this week. Like, I know it's just the hormones probably, but damn, you know? Meanwhile, Denise figured out how to save the black dude by taking a needle and sucking out some of the infection from his wound. Mm-hmm. And increasing his chicken levels, and he immediately started doing better, and she goes, hot damn, I figured it out, hot damn. And I said, good for her, it's a new day,
right?
So then Ron tells Rick about Enid leaving, and Carl's planning to go get her, and Rick's like, well, where is he now? And he's like, I saw him, he was taking care of Judith on the porch. And Rick's like, okay, thanks for telling me that. And Ron's like, speaking of which, I think you were right about me needing to learn how to use a gun and to arm myself, and can you teach me how to shoot? And so Rick was like, because Ron was like, I can guard the place if you want me to. And Rick's like, nah, the zombies are guarding the place. I'm actually on top of this fence looking for signs of Glenn and the other people right now.
Right. Because they're going to keep any outsiders away. Ain't nobody going to come in with them out there.
Yeah, he said the zombies are guarding the place now.
Right. That's the alarm system, dog.
So now Ron suddenly needs to know how to shoot a gun.
Yeah, I think he up to no good.
Yeah, after that look he gave Carl, I don't want him to have a gun in his hand at all. But Rick doesn't know that. Rick doesn't even know they had this beef going. So he basically started teaching Ron how to shoot a gun.
Right, I'm trying to tell you right now, you fuck around and shoot at Carl or hit Carl, Rick could kill him.
Now, I did notice that Rick took some bullets out of the gun before giving it to Ron to shoot. But still, Ron's going to learn how to shoot. Denise... fresh
and
off,
he may have took him out because he was like, nigga, the way you were looking at me before, you might try to shoot me. No, thank you.
Well, still one bullet in there. I mean, you know. But anyway, I feel you. Denise went right up to Tara and kissed her on her mouth.
Oh, that was so sweet.
Mm-hmm. That gator must be on fleek, because I legit did not know Denise was gay.
Me either.
Like, I don't know how Tara knew that she was dropping that game on that girl. Or maybe she just got her Brittany Griner on. I don't know.
Me either. I did not see that coming.
She went in there and got that woman. And she kissed her and she said, you're right. Being afraid sucks. And I'm like, did she mean afraid to holler at Tara? Afraid of being out of the closet? Afraid of what exactly?
True. That might be true too. You know, because she probably just lived alone and shit like that. And just nobody ever really questioned, you know, her sexuality.
Yeah. So yeah, that was wild. In the sewer, we find that Maggie has now hit this roadblock where she's like, they get to the exit and she's like, it's still not far enough away from the walkers. And Aaron's like, of course it is. We'll fight our way through a couple, but we'll be fine. And Maggie's like, no, I don't think so. Ooh, let's just go back. And then Aaron's like, well, you don't gotta go, but I'm going. I got, you know, cause he still wants to make up and save Glenn. Mm-hmm. He's not scared to be outside the wall. Mm-mm. And so Maggie's like, no! Like, she says it real loud, just like that. And it attracts some walkers when she does it. And, so now Aaron turns back and he's like, what's wrong with you? Basically like, what the fuck's wrong with you?
Right.
And Maggie goes, just like Kadia on Love & Hip Hop. Love & Hip Hop Atlanta. She goes, yes. I'm pregnant. That's right, guys. She is pregnant, just like I called it.
Right. You was right about that, and I was right about Rick running for his life.
Yep. I called it. Everybody's hitting me on Twitter. Like, you called it. I was like, I know, dog. That's why y'all listen to me. She's pregnant. And I think she feels guilty about sending Glenn out to get ice cream and pickles with Nicholas. So,
right. For him not to return.
Right. So, she basically decided, like, Aaron hugged her. She cried and then, you know, they got ready to head back.
Right. And as soon as she did that, like, a herd just came. I was like, they wouldn't have made it.
Right. Yeah. There were so many zombies. They clogged all the sunlight to the tunnel. It was crazy. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Sam won't come downstairs since the wolves invaded. He's staying upstairs in his little safe area by his closet hidey hole. And his mom, Jessie, was trying to get him to come downstairs with some cookies. And he was like, no. She said, why do you want to stay up there? He said, because it hasn't changed up here. Basically saying everything's changed downstairs and he wants to stay in his safe place. And I was like, you know what that means? Time to call Carol.
Right, because that nigga was like, no, I don't want your cookies. Fuck you and your cookies, mama.
Right, her cookies ain't banging like Carol's. Mm-mm. Carol would have had some of that applesauce and oatmeal in there. He would have came his little ass downstairs, and if he wouldn't have, she would have yanked his ass up.
That, and honestly, I think, and just, I might be wrong, but I think for that little boy, even though Carol threatened to kill him, I think he feels safe around her. Like when he around her, he's like, I know that she gonna take care of me. Like, we ain't gonna be hiding no closets and no shit like that. Like, I know that whatever happens, she gonna be there. And he's more afraid of the wolves than he is of Carol.
Mm-hmm. So Carol was like, Jesse just had to give up because the cookies wasn't bagging. She let her son stay up there. Deanna's walking through Alexandria. She's looking at a house and you can hear some audio in the background of people talking, and this guy goes, I'm gonna talk that way because that's the way it is now. It was all a lie. The fact that we're alive is a joke. He's talking to some lady. Right about then, a zombie comes out of nowhere, attacks Deanna. She drops what she's carrying, like all these supplies. The zombie trips over it. A wine bottle breaks, and she takes the top half of it and shakes the zombie. all up in his chest and shit, not in the head, so the zombie's still alive.
She don't know.
Right, she don't know.
she don't, like I said, that's about like me starting a first person shooter game. Left, right, RB, up, ah, damn, I'm dead.
So Deanna was shaking the zombie, and then Rick comes over and sees her struggling and kills the zombie before it can bite her or anything.
Instantly, too.
But then she looks at Rick and says, I want to live.
And to me, that was a pivotal moment for her, mm-hmm. because she said that covered in blood.
Right. Right. Well, she at first just gotten herself, this was her first aggressive action since Reg being killed, in my opinion. Like, she's never killed a zombie before. Like I said, she's what we like to call book smart.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, everything's cool with her in theory, but then in real life, when you have to get your hands messy and stab a zombie and kill it, she ain't done none of that. She don't know shit about that life. So she had to get kind of hip to game that way.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so she kills a zombie. I mean, Rick kills a zombie, and then she tells him, I want to live. I want this place to stay standing. And then Rick says, you need to lead them. And then she says, you don't need me, Rick. What they need is you. Which is a pivotal scene also from the comic book. So
right. That
was cool. What I wanted from this place, is it really just pie in the sky? She asked Rick, and Rick says no. And I'm like, well, if Rick's on board with her vision, that shit gonna get done.
Ain't that the truth?
Like, they gonna get all that shit. Them solar panels, the wall reinforcements, the fucking...
He gonna guarantee it get done.
Yeah, they'll put a moat around that bitch if Rick says get it done. Meanwhile, Aaron is talking to Maggie there on top of the fence, on top of the wall, and she's like, I'll be right back. She leaves. She goes to wipe Glenn's name off of the dead board. Which I didn't notice them wiping Nicholas's name off. So.
Is it me or were they just wiping? I thought they were just wiping all the names off, but they started with his name.
Is that what it was? Okay, yeah. I thought it was just Glenn.
Okay, that's what she started.
Because some of those people we do know are dead.
Right, they're really dead, but it might be one of those things where it's just a reminder. So she was like, fuck it, well, let's just erase all the names.
I hope not, because too many people work too hard on that wall for them to go do that shit.
you think Megan gives a fuck?
I think I'm right. I think they only erased Glenn's name. I bet they left Nick's up because they was like, you know, that nigga dead. So anyway, but maybe they erased him all. I didn't catch that.
Because Aaron started wiping her name off too. That's why.
But he was wiping the other half of Glenn's name. It was really big. Yeah, I didn't see him going up high because the wall. Remember, it goes all the way to the top of the wall.
Yeah, it does.
There's names up and down, and like I said, some of those people are dead.
Yes, they are.
And it said in memory of, and that would be really fucking disrespectful. They erase everybody's name off that shit because they decided. I'm sorry. Glenn, I can see, but just everybody, like, fuck your family and shit that you put up here in memory of. Fuck them. I'm taking it off because I decided. No, that's not.
And they may have taken Nicholas' name off too because they don't know. It's like a question mark for both of them.
Well, that's why I said I didn't see them wiping Nicholas' name off.
Okay.
So I wondered, they're just like, fuck Nicholas. I mean, come on. Let's be honest, guys.
We know he did.
Let's be honest. He was a bitch. So Aaron then suggests that Maggie might want to name the baby after him, Aaron or Erin, E-R-I-N if it's a girl. And I thought that's a bit damn presumptuous, Mr. I lost my packet, everybody's dead.
Right.
Y'all ain't best friends, okay? I know gay dudes and straight women like to do the best friend thing, but hey, it's a little too soon. It's a little too fast. You gotta at least do her hair or something one time.
I know, grease that scalp.
Right. I do love the character of Aaron though, because they didn't go with the negative stereotypes, quote unquote. Or the typical stereotypes of, well, here's a gay character. How do we make the audience know he's gay? Like, how in every scene are we going to be like, and he talks this way and he walks that way and he always says something sassy and funny and
he's a normal human being like everybody else.
Yeah. It's just like, he's just a character and he happens to have a husband. So,
right.
You know, if it's not a scene about that, it's none of your fucking business.
Correct.
And he's a badass. I love that about him.
Yes, he is.
That look of disgust she had for Spencer from 2 weeks ago for Rosita. Oh, I'm sorry. Rosita was at the top of the gate fence looking down on watch crying when Spencer walked up. She wiped the tears away real quick, and the look of disgust she had for Spencer was completely gone. Remember 2 weeks ago?
Need to come back.
Oh, okay. Let me refresh. So Karen, what's up with them titties? You know, since the audience can't hear us right now.
I know, but they can see us, so I can't pull them out. I'm sorry.
So I was just asking about them, seeing if everything's all right.
Oh, yeah, they doing good back here.
All right, so Rosita is at the top of this gate, and she's crying. She saw Spencer coming. She wiped her tears away, and, you know, she had a look. The look of disgust she had for him a couple weeks ago is now gone. Mm-hmm. And she had respect for his chip-stealing ass and was like, hey, you did a good job shooting that truck and keeping it from breaking in the fence. And Spencer says, I just got lucky. She said, well, lucky or not, just keep doing what you're doing. And then she walked off, and it felt very friendly. At first I thought it was gonna get a little romantic, but it felt more like mutual camaraderie, like respect. Yeah. And then Rosita leaves him up there, and then he pulls out some Pringles from his pocket and starts eating them.
Right.
I'm like, this nigga, he gonna gain 30 pounds next week.
Right, and gonna talk about wood.
Right.
I ain't take nothing.
He gonna be like, you guys need to slow down on these motherfucking beans, okay?
And Cinnabons.
Right. Now, if anybody can pass me them Pringles, I'm gonna finish that off. Rick goes and meets Jesse, who's in her garage, and Rick is like, yeah, I, you know, about burying the bodies and shit earlier, the reason I told you to wait for that is because I still have hope for Glenn and the rest of my crew returning, and, you know, I feel like everything will go back to normal, and it's, mm-hmm. you know, it's gonna, and she said, yeah, but you said it's gonna be a while. And he was like, yeah, it can, it might be a while before they get back. And she says, Rick, it's been a while. The rules are over for that bullshit. Bury these motherfuckers, they stank. So then Jesse is like, you know, I'm realizing through all this shit how fucked up this world is. You know, like this world is, it's bleak, you know what I mean? Like, I had to kill a motherfucker today, you know, like shit got real so fast.
Right. And I think for Jess, it's not the same storyline as Curl, but it's one of those things where she's fighting now.
Right.
Where before she wouldn't have went down there and killed that woman.
Yeah, she's all the way woke right now.
Right. So she's like, nah, I don't want to die. I've had my ass whooped. My children have been beat. I will not stand and allow shit to happen like I did before.
Right. You know, it's, I'm a survivor.
Right.
You know, so, I just thought that was a, you know, so then she basically says, like, tell me there's more. To which we finally get it after all this time, an actual kiss that has consent and purpose to it.
Right.
Not Rick trying to sneak a smooch while he's handing her his baby.
Right.
Not Rick eyeing her ass as her husband looks on. Like, just
right.
A pure D, like, I need, you know, she just basically was like, make me feel good.
And too, I think that she understands him more. I think prior to that attack,
yeah,
she didn't understand. She was like, crazy motherfucker, get the fuck away from me. Yeah, I can learn how to shoot, take care of myself, but shit hadn't hit the fan. But mm-hmm. when she realized, she was like, oh, this is the shit that you've been ranting and raving about that I've been ignoring. We're the same now, because I've had to kill people too.
And this is her reaction to the end of the world.
Right.
Like, this is everybody's reaction this week is to this idea that, hey, we can die at any moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before this they were just kind of like out there, like, hey, you know, we're all just trying to make it, and now it's officially like, hey, your ass could die at any moment.
Correct.
All right, man. And then Deanna goes and hits the gate with the zombies on the other side of the fence, and then she walks by the gate, and you look at the wall, and there's blood coming through the wall, in my opinion.
It is, yeah.
And it's trickling down the wall. Now, some people think something happened at the top of the wall and started trickling down, but through the laws of physics, that makes no fucking sense.
No.
Unless the wall is at a slanted angle, the blood would have had to trickle all the way from the top. It wouldn't start halfway and then start trickling down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the zombies are just pressing so hard that the zombies in front are starting to bleed through the walls.
Yes, they're right, as we've seen before with zombies, where they just burst into this fucking shit and bleed and stuff. And I think it's just a sign that, hey, the wall does have some structural insecurities in it, and it can crack with enough weight pushed upon it, and the zombies eventually are going to crack that fucking wall.
Mm-hmm. If they don't catch it in time, yes, sir.
Yeah, so, and I watched that shit several times. That's my opinion. If I'm wrong, I'll just be wrong. Y'all, we'll find out in a couple weeks, I'm sure, because I don't think it's going to find out anytime soon. Mm-hmm. All right, we got some emails. Let's do these emails. Cecil writes in, they walking and kissing. I like this episode. Good to see how they all dealt with the aftermath of the wolves attack. Maggie was about to follow in Glenn's footsteps. Relying on that Alexandrian was gonna get her fucked up too. I'm surprised she gave up on finding Glenn so soon, especially after how hard she went last time when they were apart. You called it on Maggie being pregnant. I know I did, player.
And her being pregnant is probably the biggest reason why she probably, if she wasn't pregnant, she'd have ran out there.
Yep. I think when she almost died in that tunnel, and she just realized, like, yeah, this is a stupid ass plan. Glenn wouldn't want me doing this.
Right.
They are really playing up this Glenn thing. I bet they drag it up all the way to the season finale. They'll keep on teasing until the end. I think he's dead. The longer they tease, I get less confident in that opinion. I'm excited to see what happens to the other group that's leading the herd. Love the show. Yeah, I'm excited to see too, man. Next week we get Glenn and Abe and Sasha.
Not Glenn.
I mean, what did I say? Glenn? Daryl. Daryl. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We probably get Glenn too. He's probably alive, doing well.
And I'm excited about that crew because we all know they know how to survive. So that's going to be interesting.
Yeah. What if Glenn's just somewhere with a new family? Oh! Adrian wrote in, and this is a very long email. So I'll just go to the part about the episodes because the rest is, you know, not pertinent. I watched it twice because one of the viewers in our house couldn't watch it when it aired, so I watched it when it aired and again. I thought maybe a second viewer would give me more thoughts, but there just wasn't much going on that warranted a comment. First, why did Aaron pick that time to confess to losing his pack? Seriously, they are all falling apart. It doesn't seem like the time to be adding to it. Here's why he did that, because they weren't believing Rick.
Right.
And they were basically saying, like, you could see the crowd being like, fuck what Rick's talking about. We're all gonna die. Just give up. The zombies at our door. We've never seen these motherfuckers before. Rick has done nothing but make shit worse. And Aaron had to come up and be like, no, if it wasn't for Rick, we'd be fucking dead. The wolves came here because of me. And then the zombie plan, this is only half of them. If Rick didn't have a plan, all the zombies would be here and we'd be fucking dead. So he was basically saying, like, y'all lay off Rick. Second, Rick told them all to be quiet. It didn't seem like anyone was particularly quiet until the whisper section between Rick and Jesse at the end of the show. Yeah, I thought it was ironic when Rick was telling them to be quiet by yelling. We're going to be quiet tonight. No lights. I'm like, can you just take it down a notch?
Can we use our inside voices?
Come on, Rick. Come on, man.
Take that 10 to a 5.
Take your own advice. As they keep harping on in the commercial, only three more episodes of 2015, i.e. into the mid-season break. They have definitely had fewer people in every episode. Do you think the actors get paid less than they are in the episode? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that, I think with syndication and shit, it doesn't really matter, but right. I don't know. Maybe they have other projects going on. They can't be in every episode.
Right.
Who knows? Of the five episodes this season, Carol has only been in two of them. She's one of my favorites. Well, yeah, I feel like that's kind of unfair to say, because if you think about it, the Morgan episode takes everybody down by one except Morgan.
Right.
Because there's two people pretty much in that whole episode. So everybody's using that as like a notch against, like, why is the so-and-so not in this episode? It's like, well, no one's in the episode.
Nobody. They didn't even talk about Alexandria.
And they've chosen to tell the story by, because they had such a huge cast, by taking certain groups and telling the story of what they were doing and then juxtaposing it the next week with what was going on the other side with the other people. I feel like everybody's getting not equal camera time, but everybody's kind of getting their due. And I think we have our favorite characters, but one of the reasons these characters are our favorite is because this show knows how to use certain people sparingly.
Right. So, and like, oversaturate.
yeah, some of these people are not as interesting as you guys think they are, but mm-hmm. it's working because they're giving them to you in small doses and you go, oh yeah, this person's awesome. You know, like, but if Carol was doing ninja shit every week, she would quickly become like the, oh, okay. They're going too far with Carol now. Or, right. You know, like the housewife, Martha Stewart Carol, that's interesting in small doses because it's funny. But, you know, if you do it too much, then it's kind of like, all right, I don't really give a fuck about her making a casserole this week. Carol's only been at two. She's one of my favorites. And one episode was Awesome Impossible White Man Carol, but I will still not quite the ensemble cast we're used to. Yeah, I think they've had to split it up to keep interesting episodes as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't want to put all your best characters on one crew and then that's it. I'm not following online comments, but it seems like people are not enjoying this breaking up of the cast and seemingly limited exposure to the whole group. Oh, all right. I don't know why I'm starting to get kicked out now, but okay.
Mm-hmm. You're using Firefox, ain't you?
I'm using Microsoft Edge, which is this other browser. Anyway.
What the fuck is Edge, Lord?
Don't worry about it. Don't. That's not, we don't have time. No problem. All right. So, where was I? I'm not following online comments, but it seems like people are not enjoying this breaking up of the cast and seemingly limited exposure to the whole group. I'm actually kind of liking this tactic, although I'm concerned that it means the producers may want to shrink the cast and lose several of the core folks, just such as Glenn or Carol or Daryl or Michonne. Well, somebody's got to die at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Every season they seem like they kill off a couple main characters and bring in a couple other people that become main characters. The other thing is, this is just the way you have to tell a story when you have this many cast members. It's just... Right. I don't know how, like, it would be really, really, really fucking disjointed if we got every cast member in a scene every week. Like, that would look like chaos.
Complete chaos.
And
they don't even do that in Game of Thrones, but they got hundreds of characters.
And honestly, I just don't listen to people that say they don't like the show, because the ratings are through the roof. It's the most watched show on TV, and these motherfuckers are live tweeting it every week on the dot.
Come on now.
So it's like, at what point do I just go, oh, you're full of shit, you don't hate this show at all, you know?
Right.
You know, when you hate a show, you just stop watching it.
I know I do.
Like, I hate Leftovers, and I haven't watched the episode yet. I'd even put Morgan in that group just because he was someone from the very beginning of the show, even though he hasn't been a consistent character on the show. At this point, of those five, I think only Michonne may be safe because of her screen time. Everyone else hasn't had much screen time or has been written to seem like they are offable. Any thoughts on all of whether we'll see any of them go outside of Glenn controversy? That's been covered, I think. Have a lovely week. Now, I really don't speculate on who's going to die, to be quite mm-hmm. honest with y'all. Like,
I'm
watching the story to enjoy the story.
Me too.
And I think whatever choices they make, I just want the choices to be justified by the choices that the characters have made in the story.
Right, and consequences of their actions.
Right. I'm not really into this whole, like, all right, guys, this character is dying, so therefore... We gotta, you know, look at it this way and that way. Like, nah, mm-hmm. it's cool. Like, if a character is, you know, like, I don't like spoilers. I hate when people see me like, they cast this guy, or,
right.
Did you see so-and-so is on a new show? That must mean they're not gonna be, like, I hate that shit, honestly.
And I purposely stay away from them.
And I don't think you can tell by screen time necessarily, because typically the episodes where they kill somebody, they give them fucking all the screen time. And you don't know until it's that week where you're like, oh shit. They just gave fucking Tyrese a whole episode. You're like, well, that motherfucker's gonna die, you know? Right. So, and you don't know that until that episode. So.
Correct.
Turk writes in, hi guys, I used to be anti-Jessic. Now I hope Rick and Jesse start bumping uglies. Back in the day, I used to ship Rick Schoen. Rick and Michonne are like your two friends you love and you want them to be together just because they are single and cute together. The reality is Michonne don't seem like the type to put up with ain't shit niggas. And right now, Rick is the definition of one since he was pushing up on that married woman. Y'all been off Rick, Michonne. I think that's for the same reason. I don't like Rick. I think Rick is overrated. I think Rick is trying to prove a point to himself by being in a romantic relationship in season 3. Herschel got Rick all shook about C-Murder killing that child soldier. Rick completely withdrew and played farmer until he was forced to do otherwise. I think he took Michonne's warning from season 5 that they could be out there too long very seriously. It played in the Lori's opinion from season two, that she would rather have Carl die from his wound than become another animal trying to survive on the road. We literally had Rick acting like an animal when he was forced to kill Joe by biting his jugular. He seemed like a wolf or a lion that with all that blood on his face. I think Rick last season, we said this when they were in Alexandria and he was looking at Jesse and he was holding that baby and stuff. I think Rick has decided that he wants what he had with Lori and shit back.
Right.
Like, he's like, I want this family. I want this safety and security. I want it all back. Rick needs to show himself so he can live the type of life he had before the Z-Pac. He's got a job. Most animals don't work. He's trying to engage in some, in a kind of a monogamous relationship. Most animals don't do that either. Okay, you've lost the thread here. What? He's an animal now? Some of you guys in y'all's theories, I don't know what y'all are doing. Like, the black man is a savage people, and now Rick is just like an animal. I think it's a little too much. All right, they can step away from the TV a little bit and just follow the threads that they're giving you. I don't think Rick's an actual animal. He didn't kill Carter.
Maybe I'm misunderstanding, but I think they're saying, like, his animal type of animal instinct kind of kicked in. You know how he bit the dude, how that, you know.
Oh, I get that. Okay. I'm saying it went too far. Once you get into most animals don't get in monogamous relationships. Most animals shit out without wiping their ass. Like, okay, man. All right, he's not an actual animal.
No,
okay.
He's not.
He didn't kill Carter, even though he had a reason to, which took self-control. Animals don't have to exhibit self-control because they don't have rules. Rick is trying to assimilate into a normal life. Rick was going to get wifed up regardless. Jesse just happened to be the first opportunity. Rick could not be with someone within his group because they all had the same problem of being out there too long. Jesse was the first person to show up at his doorstep. She showed trust by saying she wasn't afraid of him. The added bonus is that she works in the pantry. You know, Eugene loves snacks, so at least one other person at Rick's house would be happy about the relationship. I don't know if Eugene is in their house. I also don't think that that Jesse works in the pantry.
No, she cuts hair.
That's Olivia. Jesse cuts hair. My guess is that Jesse checked out of her marriage a long time ago and just stayed with her husband because it's the best available option for her and her kids. As Lori told Rick right before she died, we pretty much have to stay together because there's not even a way to split our assets. I don't think that's true at all. I think people can leave all the time in the zombie apocalypse. Fuck it.
Right. What that says, so what 401k are we going to divide up?
Yeah. Where you going to take me to court? Right. The other thing
Where's your lawyer? That zombie out there?
I think she stayed because it's an abusive relationship and she got kids.
Right.
And there was really nothing they could do in the town, and everybody in the town just let it go on.
Right, because he's the doctor, basically.
I hope Michonne and Daryl eventually get together. And by the way, I don't think she gave up because she told Rick a long time ago that Pete had gone through this before and they had worked it out. And he had gotten better, but now he was still he was going back to being worse. Hope Michonne and Daryl eventually get together after she gets over the death of her boyfriend and son. Based on Michonne's dream for season 4, she seems like the type that might not mind a dude who doesn't wear deodorant. We all know he's musty. She does have natural hair and was wearing fashions from the motherland, so she probably wears that hippie deodorant that doesn't work. Michonne doesn't smell though because she's a goddess. Smiley face. Do you guys think Rick or any other gang can be normal again? Peace, turquoise. None of them are going back to normal, turquoise. In my opinion,
you can't.
But
after shit like that, there's no such thing as normal.
Yeah, and I do think you're right about Rick trying to assimilate the wildness and the craziness that he absorbed on the road and adapt to this new life, but I just don't think it's possible because nothing's ever gonna be that peaceful for Rick. Like, this world will always need the unthinkable done in order to survive, and that's what Rick is best at. So I don't think life will let him be the Rick that he wants to be, which is like a father and taking care of some kids, and I just don't think the world's too harsh for that. Daywalking season 6, episode 5, Alicia writes in, Rye, Karen, and bomb ass guest. I have to say first how much I love the podcast. I haven't joined the new members class, but I plan to get myself together. You two are so witty and insightful. Thank you for all that you give. It is more than my slaw non-premium ass deserves. This week's episode was amazing, start to finish. I love how they played with time this season. I'm sure we will find out how Rick escaped the RV and made it to the gate next week.
We might.
I'll be okay with them not showing it though. I realized that today when someone brought that up to me. I was like, oh yeah, I guess actually it wouldn't matter. We just know he survived. I mean, if he ran out, then there's a million ways you can guess how he survived, but you know, he just got out of there.
They might address it, but like, and I'm trying to funny, something that my new, it put like this, they're bigger storylines to tell me than how you accept that IV.
Yeah, that being said, I wouldn't be shocked if they addressed it anyway.
Oh yeah.
Because they do seem to get every fucking detail on the show.
They might not address it tomorrow, you know, next show, but you know, eventually they will address it.
Maybe it'll come up when he talks to Morgan, I don't know.
Right, I think it'll be in a flashback in my opinion.
I don't know why so many people seem to have an issue with quote unquote loose ends. This show is probably more detailed oriented than any other show I watch, and I trust him to give us answers to all our questions. The pacing of the reveals is part of the fun, at least for me. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I look forward to seeing Deanna's journey. She has suffered so much, lost so much so quickly. No one is really equipped to handle that, even Rick. Oh, how we forget the season of Rick talking to Walls after Lori died. Right. He was talking on that phone. His leadership was pretty non-existent for a time. Deanna's different because, at least for a moment with the blueprint, you saw that she still has it in her plan for civilization and community. She also lost her husband and like just, she lost shit in a completely different way than Rick lost it. Rick lost his shit savagely. Interestingly, whereas Deanna's story this week was about her loneliness, everyone else's storyline was tied to that connection with another person. Jesse, Rick, Carl, Enid, Ron, Betsy, who killed herself and her, whose husband died with Michonne and them. It is definitely cuffing season to Alexandra. I want to see Rick have a companion. You actually left out Tara and Denise.
Right.
You some kind of homophobe? Is that what's going on, Alicia?
No.
All right. I'm just joking. I want to see Rick have a companion, maybe someone who takes as much care of him as he takes of everyone else. I don't know that he will ever have had that with Lori, even in pre-apocalypse. And I'm here for Tara and the doctor version of that pantry lady. Yeah, Denise does remind me of Olivia. I got them confused. Like Rod, I suspected Maggie was pregnant. I also knew that she would put herself at risk once she realized Glenn was missing. Maggie and Glenn have always put their relationship above the group. Remember when they left the group to roll with Abraham to DC?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And leaving her sister behind. Not a criticism, it's just how they love. I'm happy that she realized she couldn't risk herself, the baby, and Aaron. Just to confirm whether he's dead or not. I don't know what to think about Spencer. Unfortunately, he's still a coward. I don't know why he volunteered to take Carol's place atop the wall to relieve Rosita, but I don't think he really wants to protect the community. Some people are speculating that that's his blood on the wall in the last shot. I don't know, but it didn't look like it was coming from up top, right? Rather, it looked like it was coming through that hole. Anyway, I can't wait to get more Carol and Michonne, hopefully next week, and find out what's popping with Daryl, Sasha, and Abraham. Love your review. Best one out there. Thank you.
Thank you.
Lastly, R. Yvonne writes in, hi, Rod and Karen. Another enjoyable episode of The Walking Dead. I'm getting slightly frustrated that they simply won't show us if Glenn is dead or not. I told y'all that was going to happen. Everybody that was okay with that shit, I'm just waiting to see how long they it's okay. It kind of feels like the Sophia situation all over again. It kind of does. I would say in this one, it's almost worse, because with Sophia, they weren't going on the Talking Dead afterwards and teasing it.
Right.
Like, you just didn't have this, like, and now we're going to release a statement, and now we're going to say you will see pieces of them somehow.
Instead of just letting the story play out.
They spent a whole half a season teasing us about that little girl's fate, knowing damn well she wouldn't have survived on her own, dead or alive. I just hope the next episode reveals what happened to him.
It won't.
Right. I do not trust that little motherfucker, Ron. I just knew he was going to try to push Rick into those zombies. He didn't, but I can't shake the feeling he's up to something. Ron is a punk, falling to the ground, coughing all dramatically when Carl gives him that weak-ass shove, right? Come on, I've been hit harder by a gust of wind. Rick better sleep with one eye open, especially when Ron sees Rick trying to get in, dress his drawers, right?
Yeah, he ain't gonna be too pleased with that.
Rick gonna walk out of there like that scene in Baby Boy with Ving Rhames and Tyrese.
Butt naked, Lord. Mm-hmm.
All right, man. Let's get to some new stuff, guys. All right. And let's just do Ben Carson. How about that? We'll just do Ben Carson and we'll get out of here, okay? Because we got to go watch Arrow. Mm-hmm. All right. So this segment about Ben Carson is brought to you by Bevel, the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. That's right. Even if you was a sellout, you know who needs to use these razors more than anybody else? Sellouts. Mm-hmm. Black men that sell us out typically have what? No hair on their face. Now, how do they get that hair off of their face but still stay smooth, unirritated, and looking fresh? They go to getbevel.com. That's right. So even if you listen to this and you think that I am gender fluid and messing up the gay agenda, you can get your face clear too, brother.
Mm-hmm.
You don't got to love me to love your own face. So go to getbevel.com, use code TBGWT. You get 20% off of your first month at getbevel.com. That's getbevel.com. Happy Uncle Tom and brothers. All right. All right. So we got to do our new Ben Carson segment, the one that everybody's been waiting for. Now I will say this. I've been getting some good reviews about the second remix that I did. Some people like the remix of the Ben Carson song. Now some people still holding out. I saw people saying like, yo, I'm not ready to vote for this nigga off of this remix.
You gonna try a little harder.
So I had to add more flames to it, guys. So hopefully this will get the vote out for Ben Carson. All right, guys. Hope you're ready for this.
Okay, I'm reloaded.
Oh my word.
For our next president to be America became a great nation early on, not because it was flooded with politicians, but because it was flooded with people who understood the value of
Christian
creativity, innovation, and that's what will get us on the street. I'm very hopeful that I'm not the only one who's willing to pick up the baton of freedom. Because freedom is not freedom, we must fight for it every day. Every one of us must fight for it because we're fighting for our children and the next generation. If we want to get America, Ben Carson, no matter what fact, go out and vote.
I'm Ben Carson, and I approve this message paid for by Carson America.
You got knocked the fuck out, man!
All right. Hopefully that'll get the vote out.
We got chickens and cows and roosters. What's happening here?
Black people do love chicken. I tried to think of all the stuff black people like, and I put it in there. Friday.
Choppers. Well, I know that's a gun now. You know, I didn't always know a chopper was a gun.
Scarface. You know,
yeah, I done came a long way. You know, talking about chopping in my car. I was like, why do you have kitchen utensils in your car? They had to explain to me that means guns because I'm fucking old.
Because if the people are not well informed, all it takes is unscrupulous politicians and news media, and off the people go in a completely wrong direction, listening to all kinds of propaganda and inculcating that into their method of thinking. And then it becomes real easy for them to swallow things. If they don't really understand the financial situation of the country, and somebody comes along and says, free college for everybody, they'll say, oh, what a wonderful person. And they have no idea that all you're talking about is hastening the destruction of the nation.
What?
That's right, Karen. Free college is going to destroy our nation, according to Ben Carson. Mm-hmm.
But college is the way everybody, quote unquote, tells people that's how you're supposed to get out of poverty.
Well, if you weren't stupid, if you weren't stupid and you didn't get tricked into believing that, you would understand. So maybe, maybe if you would have paid for your education, you'd be fine. Ben Carson also, said that baby Hitler has the right to life. That's right. He doesn't believe in abortion.
Carson, as perhaps the most anti-Hitler, but also the most anti-abortion candidate, would you be in favor of aborting baby Hitler?
Oh, my God.
I'm not in favor of aborting anybody.
Mr. Not even Hitler. Okay.
Do you think that you were let
pro-Hitler.
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 I'm not in favor of aborting anybody. My favorite part about that, though, is that is a ridiculous question.
Right.
Like, I don't even know why we have to, like, when we talk about abortion, we always have to ask these candidates the dumbest fucking, okay, let's imagine the baby was Superman and a meteor was coming and only Superman could save us from the meteor. Would you then be allowed, by the way, Superman was conceived as a baby of rape, okay? You could go back in time and you had a kryptonite abortion laser.
Lord.
Do you shoot him in the womb? And also, that's Lex Luthor's baby. All right, go ahead. Like, stop. Like, why do we have to have these extreme situations? Yes or no? Are you for it or against it? The end.
That's all that matters.
All right, man. We got to go watch Arrow. This has been fun.
Mm-hmm.
We appreciate everybody. Of course, make sure you guys get out and vote for Ben Carson. Let me play the outro music for this segment.
Okay, I'm reloaded.
Ooh, I see. Oh, my word.
You got knocked the fuck out, man.
All right, until next time.
Until next time, y'all.
I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.